This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ripped.
NASCAR.
Four-time Cup champion, Jeff Gordon.
I definitely know where you're coming from, and that's what it really, truly takes.
IndyCar.
She's the newest IndyCar Series winner, Danica Patrick.
I know. Yeah, let's do it.
Formula One.
From the driver's perspective, David Hobbs.
To not have a race in North America, to me, is frankly appalling.
Sports cars.
She's been unstoppable in the factory Corvettes, Johnny O'Connell.
It's very cool to be talking to you this time all the way from Le Mans, France.
And NHRA drag racing.
NHRA funny car champ, John Force.
Big money, all the money here. It's just a race everybody wants to win.
WFO Radio is Total Motorsports.
Bring it on.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition. And drop the hammer. Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We're going to get right into it today. We have got so much to cover and so much to do and so little time to do it. It has been such a great week of WFO. Coming back from Charlotte and hanging with all those WFO radio listeners out there, it was a great time. And thank you so much to everybody who shouted WFO at me along the way. Like, hey, WFO, hey, WFO. Doing the track walk. Fun stuff. But today on the show, you can tell I'm jumping right into it. Let's bring Giovanni in. We're going to huddle up.
Giovanni, all right.
Welcome, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
You?
I am great.
No Cup Series race this weekend.
Nope. It's the off week.
It's the off week. And I was like, did we talk to Bob Smith? Did we get with Tommy Noodles? And the answer is no, there's no race. It's like, okay. I'm ready for a little bit of a break. I think this is so much better than it used to be when they would do 2 weeks and then take a break and then run for like 15 weeks. We did, what did we do? 8 weeks. We did not get a great eight, though, as Kevin Harvick won at Darlington, the Bojangles Southern 500, a very exciting race. And an interesting statistic, the guys who finished 42nd and 43rd the previous week finished 1 and 2 the following week, Dale Jr. and Kevin Harvick. A whole host of green-white checker finishes. We're going to get into it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to break it down. But I think more importantly, at least in this case, that was exciting, but it's also in the past, something that is future-oriented. On Monday this past week, Gene Haas held an announcement, the official announcement and press conference, about the new American Formula One team that is now off and running. And I just happened to get here at just the right time. I recorded it, and I have a ton of audio from it. I believe we're going to post the whole thing at some point. This is one of those programming decisions. Should I have posted the press conference for you guys to listen to first or talked about it first? I wanted to talk about it first. I haven't seen it in too many places, but there are a lot of very interesting cuts, and it is a very, very interesting discussion point.
Very interesting to me.
Well, is Gene Haas over his head? Is he over his head? And, you know, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Is this guy just crazy enough to pull it off? And maybe he's going to pull it off and make America look great. Or if he's going to fail and make America in the eyes of the world look like an aging superpower that can't get things done anymore. There are going to be far-reaching, I believe, because I got Gio already shaking his head, but then again, if we go back to the previous shows, this is right where, Joe is always right. This is a Joe is always right. You don't see it. You don't want to accept it. That's because you don't have the vision. The rest of the world is going to see an American entry, and they're going to see whether we succeed or fail. Based on that, they are going to make a judgment. You make judgments of everybody. A football coach who fails, you judge them. A football team, a player who's not throwing the ball exactly the right way or misses a shot, the first thing you do, the great Giovanni, what does he do? He judges them, their character, their parenting, the well-being. Judges, deep, deep-rooted judgment. You know it's true.
I don't personally attack any of these guys.
Not to
mention, only attack their on-field
Well, exactly.
What court or what have you performance.
And how is this any
different? I do not attack them personally.
And how is this any different?
I do not go after their family and their children and say that they should be embarrassed
you demand
for
that
the
they
whole
be,
family.
You're not Stephen A.
But I do have demands
you're not Stephen
of
A.
my...
But they embarrass themselves in your eyes. They are failures
some,
in your eyes.
I wouldn't go
you,
that
You've said
far.
That. You said that they're failures. You attack them for their failures. And so we're not saying this guy's going to fail. Maybe he's going to succeed with greatness. And that's what I certainly hope. We just have to think about what the stakes actually are. That's all I'm getting here. This is not just a team, a guy, an American businessman. He's gonna give Formula One a try. It'll be cool. Oh, yeah, he failed. No big deal. Nobody is going to attach it to anything about our civilization. They absolutely will, even if just for fun. Even if just for the entertainment of knocking the Americans around. The Yanks. Ha ha, look at the Yanks. They can't get it done. The Yanks, they failed. Like they do with USF1. There are going to be much... Maybe you folks at home will not take responsibility for Gene Haas's failure. You know, Gene Haas, if he fails, it's not going to reflect on you. You might not consider that. And I might not consider it. And Giovanni in Miami might not consider it. Trust me. The Italians, the Brits, the French, they will. The Germans with the German three, they will. They will. That's what international competition is all about. It is a greater context about your society, about your civilization, about your laws, about your educational system, about your abilities, about your intelligence. It's not just a team. That's why Formula One is different. And we've got a lot of audio from Gene Haas that we're going to rapid fire through. I'm going to play it. We're going to discuss it. It's going to be great. It's going to be the greatest segment ever on this show, maybe. Maybe not. But first, we're going to get into the Bojangles Southern 500. And we're going to talk about that race. I'm going to bring up the results. We have got fantasy results at some point. We're going to get into it. And being on the road, it's interesting because it's rip and run, baby. It's been rip and run.
But you got to watch the race.
In a bar, yes, I did. Did I? Or was I home? No, I was in a bar.
I don't know that you were home.
Well, I was definitely home.
You were either
home.
In a hotel room.
The hotel room is home. Anywhere where I'm going to sleep is home.
Home is where you lay your head?
Home, yes, it is. Like under a bridge. Sometimes I feel like I... The Bojangles Southern 500.
Good race. Exciting. The
I
end.
Felt like it was. I felt like
Jimmy
it was.
Had it won. Junior had it won.
Yeah. Junior had it won.
But the right guy won.
Absolutely.
All things considered, Harvick dominated, and he deserved to win. He had the best car the whole night.
And Hockenstuff
was
saying...
They did their best to try and take it from him, really.
The first caution that came out, I thought it was reasonable, wasn't it? Or no, that's not
no,
what I thought.
No. I think the first one was the one that was BS. Then after that, they started wrecking, and those were all reasonable.
Actually, what my opinion was, because I did not jot down notes, but now that it's coming back to me, my first opinion was it might be a BS caution, but I would have thrown it too.
Right, the first one when Harvick was about to win. With
Harvick's just driving away, and he's just going to win. And you got Jimmy and Dale Jr. and everybody in the mix.
And at that point, Jimmy was coming on strong and really had the fastest car.
Why not? Let's make him race it. And they did, and Harvick won, and so everybody wins. Everybody wins!
Well, Harvick got the four tires there at the end, the guys with two tires. Once there was that second green-white checkered, it really gave it to Harvick.
Dale Jr. was, I think, going to win that.
Dale Jr. was going to win if it wasn't for the second.
I hate to say it. It's better that he didn't win because the naysayers would have just gone nuts. They would have gone, I can't believe. That's what the naysayers sound like, in case you don't know. I didn't welcome the first-time listener this week.
Oh, I got a picture of her.
The first-time listener?
Yeah, I don't think that's really her. It looks like some model
clothed
that somebody sent me
clothed.
A picture. No, it was scantily clad.
A lot of scantily clad women friend me on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's got to be some sort of scam. I mean, as much as I like to think that the scantily clad women are just, and they have no friends, and they're from right around the corner, and all their friends are scantily clad too, and it's all people that I don't know, and they want to be my friend. They're reaching out to me. They want to friend me.
Yeah, that's something like big 280-pound dude named Bubba.
I don't think so. I think it's a computer virus. I don't even think it's a person. I think it's they're
setting
up a bot. They're setting up fake profiles. They're attaching it to a bot. The bot then friends all my friends and like steals all our data and information and, you know, puts it on the internet. All kinds of private photos of me, puts it out there like on Facebook. Already does. But so maybe I'm also missing out on all these hot chicks that really want to date me. I have to say that thought crosses my mind too. Wow. This really hot, scantily clad chick that looks like she's 22, maybe she really is interested in me. And she wants to date me, and she wants to spend time together and, you know, be scantily clad in the same room as me. And I'm rejecting her. Like, she's like, I hope this guy Joe is so cool with the show. WFO, I really like it. I'm going to send him a picture of myself with no clothes on. And I live right around the corner from him. And maybe we can hang out together and hold hands. And, right? And I'm rejecting her. I'm rejecting her right in her face. No, reject. Friend request denied.
Oh, boy.
And what does that mean? That means that computer safety is pretty big. That I'm willing to reject all these super hot chicks who want, you know, they want to get with me. It's a sad thing, man. Every time I delete it, I always think sadness. Does anybody believe any of that? Good. Kevin Harvick wins. Again, becomes the first driver to block a spot. That is...
Theoretically.
Well, not theoretically. He's the first driver to double up, and he's the
right.
first driver
but
to block a
yet,
spot.
But not yet, because there haven't been... There could still be 16, you know. There's been, what, 7 winners? There could still be 9 more winners, because there's 16 races left. 18 races left.
There's 18 races left. There can be 9 more winners. There could be.
So you know what I mean? Like he theoretically hasn't blocked a spot yet.
But he blocked Jimmy from getting the spot. By winning, he prevented Jimmy from winning and Kenseth from winning and Biffle from winning. You know, those guys. That's the point of Carlos Hockenstuff's block a spot thing. It's like every time somebody doubles up on a win, that decreases the opportunity for everyone else. And that's all. But I get what you are saying, too, that will come into play once the number of races remaining.
Right. Supersedes the number of drivers that can win a spot.
That's when it's going to become
That's
awesome.
When it's like, okay, now I blocked this guy from getting in.
It's going
potentially.
To be, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be really, really cool. Because Jimmy and Matt and Biffle and all of these guys, Jeff Gordon,
Gordo,
Kyle
Stewart,
Larson,
Hamlin,
Stewart,
Newman,
Newman, all these guys could win. They're winners. And they're not in right now. And for the first time, I saw the points, and I think to myself, boy, the points are stupid. Someone's looking at Dale Jr.'s in fourth. He's like, hasn't been in the top 5 in like every race? I said, yeah, except for one where he finished 43rd and another where he finished pretty poorly, and so that's why he's fourth.
No, that's really the only bad race he's had
last
week.
Yeah, he's had a couple. All right, here we go. Kevin Harvick wins the race. Dale Jr. second, Jimmy Johnson third. If he was from Sweden, he'd be Jimmy Johnson. I learned that after Jimmy Åland won in... Charlotte at
Pro
the four wide nationals when Pro Stock. All right, what does Harvick have to say? Harvick wins the race. Harvick.
Felt like we did everything right with putting the 4 tires on. I didn't really expect, you know, four or five, six of those guys to put on 2 tires, to tell you the truth. But all in all, I think it worked out, you know, really good the way the cautions fell. And we were able to just get – our car was really good on the launch on restarts tonight, and we were able to push the 88 to the lead that one time. And I felt like I had a little left in the bag down there in 3 and 4 on the top on the restarts. You know, kind of learned that last night in the nationwide race. But all in all, it was a good night and really good, great weekend. And just proud of all my guys for everything that they've gone through over the last 5 or 6 weeks. And we've had cars this fast, and we just, you know, have had some things go wrong.
Wrong. They had a lot of things break and go wrong. Yet it was still very, very cool. So, Kevin Harvick, got any more Harvick?
Yes.
One more Harvick. He says something.
This is one of those places that you circle every year. You come to Darlington, and you know, most all of us know the history of this particular racetrack and what it means to our sport. So to come here each year and know that now you only have one shot but to win the Southern 500 and you look at the names and pictures on that trophy that they have out there is something that's pretty phenomenal to be a part of. So it's the last crown jewel race, I guess you could say that that we wanted to. I told him before the year even started. I said, if we're only going to win once this year, let's win at Darlington. So, because it's just, you know, this is just the place that you want to race, and I love racing here. And
I love racing there too. I mean, I love watching racing there. I think it is the prototype or the...
Well, think back to Ricky Craven, Kurt Busch, battling
so many
door-to-door.
Great races there, but also, remember, I think it is the poster child for smart decisions and good management. Do you remember they were talking about losing both races there? They had two races there, and nobody was going. Darlington is really in the middle of nowhere. My father has been there, and he has described it to me, and there's no, there's old corrugated metal galvanized seating, you know, that metal galvanized seating. It's like shaped like your butt and you sit on it. And but what a cool track. What a cool historic track. And NASCAR looked at the situation and they got rid of one race. They said there's not enough demand. There's not enough hotels. There's not enough infrastructure to have two races here. We got to send these races elsewhere so that we can continue to grow the product in other parts of the country, which I think they have done an excellent job of. And, wow, that's one cut that I did not get from the Haas press conference that I really wanted to. Sorry, I'm thinking out loud here, folks. We'll get into it a little bit later, and you will not hear it, but we'll post the audio. I'll tell you what he said. But they put it at night because it was too hot.
Twilight.
The Southern 500 continues. And look, it's pretty much, the crowd looked pretty good. It was a great crowd. It's not the biggest track, but that's fine. That is a thing. You built up for 200,000 people, and now you're getting 150. You still got a lot of people. Not that Darlington seats 150. But the point is, night race, made it a premier race, reduced the supply, and look, demand went up. And it's one that is on my bucket list. I would love to go. In fact, Alan Reinhardt said to me, he goes, we got out of there at like 5 o'clock on Saturday night. He's like, yeah, think we can make it to Darlington? I was like, the race is on already. Because it started at like 5 o'clock or so. But I thought it was cool that, you know, we're watching drag racing, we're watching NASCAR. And then we got to watch the conclusion of the NASCAR race over a drink or two. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right, Dale Earnhardt Jr. came home second. A great finish for Dale Jr. And this guy has got a real legit championship title possibility.
Yeah, that was we really weren't a top two car. We were probably the third best car, fourth best car, depending on where Jimmy and Jeff Gordon were. They were pretty good, a little better than us most of the time, but the four was the best car, I thought. Jeff was pretty good. But we just, you know, got some good restarts at the end. The outside line was real bad about spinning the tires, and I don't, you know, Jimmy hadn't been up there and didn't really know that, so he chose the outside on them restarts, and I knew I had a great shot at getting a lead from him. And we got going. He spun his tires real bad. The four got to pushing me a little bit, and we got the lead. And that felt pretty good, leading the race. But the four just had new tires. We had 30-some laps on our list, and it just wasn't going to get the job done with him right there on us.
And that's that. But he says he's got a really good team.
Oh, sure. I mean, if you scratch Texas off the map, we're – that's how good we are. We were running that good the first two or three races. So I think this is as good as this team's ever been. We got areas where we can probably get a little better, but we're really right there. The four, I saw the performance of the four car. I saw that coming because I know how good Rodney is, and I know how good Kevin is. And pairing them together, that's one of the best pairings in the garage next to this guy sitting next to me and Chad. So that's going to really be a tough combination to battle all year. They're going to win more races. But our team, man, I'm proud and I'm happy where I'm at. You know, these guys are giving me some great stuff. We've really learned each other, and they know they're giving me some really good cars because they know my habits and what I'm looking for.
Well, it's going to be wild. I know the Dale Earnhardt Jr. fans. Folks, I often speak directly to the Dale Earnhardt Jr. fans. I will do that right now. Guys, this is the year. This is the year. Steve Letarte is leaving after this year for a gig in television from which he will never return because the TV gig is too good. Paid, no stress, air conditioning. You're on TV. You're famous. No pressure. No stress. And he's going to be great at it. But then Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to have to fall into a new situation. And whoever the new crew chief is, do you expect in the first year they're going to just win? I don't know. I think you have to build some sort of rapport. And so next year sounds like it will probably be a bit of a rebuilding year. Maybe I'm wrong, but logic says that's probably going to take a year or two. Dale Jr. has clearly developed into a different person thanks to many factors. And
yeah, principally old age.
Well,
not that he's old, but maturing, dude.
Wisdom,
slowing
confidence,
down,
the nectar. The confidence.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah. You know, he's got a woman by his side, and she's, you know, she's making him feel good and confident, and he's confident.
I'm sure it's not the first time he's had a woman by his side that made him feel good.
Yes, but this one is there for, you know, he's got a higher level relationship. It's not just for the, you know, the fame and the money, as far as we know. But look, he's obviously, something has changed in his life. The guy is a new guy. Confidence and motivation are the keys to success. And the guy's got him. So can he convert? Can he convert? Will the brakes go his way? Will he win a race in the chase? Will he win more than one race? He could have won this one. There's been like four races this year that he's got a shot to win. And he's won one, the most important one, the Daytona 500. I would love to see him win a non-plate race at some point this year, though. He's got to get to some winning, get to the winning.
Look, I'm going to go out on a limb and say your guy's going to win 2 to 3 more races this year.
Oh, I hope so. I hope they're in the chase. And I hope that he wins a championship. I hope he wins one with 10 to go, and one with 6 to go, and one with 4 to go, and then the last one, which he runs good at Homestead.
Well, I didn't say he was going to win 4 more. I think you got a little...
That would be awesome. And just dominates the chase and just advances and just dominates it, throws it down. Wins the first race of each new set and just advances and wins and throws it down and goes, rah, drops the mic.
All right, super fan, slow down.
Says,
buddy, slow down there, super fan.
Dale Jr. And somebody will have some sort of problem with it. Oh, well, you know, he only won one time, and that's not really enough.
Kenseth's championship still counts.
Yes, that is true. We already put Kenseth in the Hall of Fame last week. We just anointed him.
Did we do that on the air, or was that?
I don't know.
I don't think it was on the air.
It's really weird, because the Giovanni and I have all these conversations, and you don't know which ones are on the air or not. Jimmy Johnson, finished third. Does Jimmy Johnson have anything to say about his night in Darlington at the Lady in Black? Does Jimmy Johnson have anything to say about his night with the Lady in Black?
To finish there in the top three, I thought we had a shot at a win. I think if you know, things stayed green after our last pit stop, we had a real good chance at it, good shot at it. So I'm happy with Chad's decision to go with two. And there were enough cars it took two that gave us a little bit of a cushion, and maybe enough of a cushion to make it 4 or 5 laps there. So solid performance. Granted, we struggled in qualifying. We struggled the first run or two of the race, but we got the car turning for me and came to life, and you know, really did it the old-fashioned way and just kind of drove up through the field and ended up in second there before the last pit stop. So just proud of the hard work.
They earned it at the Lady That's Too Tough to Tame. How about that one? We just merge them together. Tame the Lady at Darlington. See, just get weird with it, right? Just get weird.
Yeah, that's enough.
Getting weird with it. Matt Kenseth was fourth, Greg Biffle fifth, Kyle Busch sixth, Jeff Gordon seventh. Jeff Gordon spent all day at Z-Max Dragway watching drag racing. He was just incognito in one of the suites, but that was the word, that Gordo was out there. I've just let the cat out of the bag. How cool is that he came out there with the kids to watch drag racing?
A lot of the Cup guys were out there.
Yes.
I saw Kyle Larson at the end.
Interviewed him on the starting line, me and Kyle.
With Ron Capps.
We're buddies.
He said Ron Capps, he scared Ron Capps. Ron Capps was in the car, and he says that he thought a kid stuck his face up under and said, hi. Then he goes, oh, I realized it was Kyle Larson.
He is young. He's really young. Tony Stewart was ninth. Ryan Newman was 10th. He says he wants to do a burnout, but he doesn't want to drive one. They're too, he says it's too much. Clint Bowyer, same thing. Ty Dillon, same thing. They're a little afraid.
They're a little afraid, huh?
I can't blame them. That's the thing, is you become desensitized,
dude,
to everything.
That's a test pilot. That's why.
Yeah,
those guys to me,
speed.
Are the right stuff.
Well, I want to talk about that because there was a great show on last night that we did a decent job of promoting on Nitro. But let me get to this because I want to get to who's looking at Danica's rear end. It's become a thing that everybody looks forward to. Austin Dillon, 11th, Clint Bowyer, 12th, Carl Edwards, 13th, Marcus Ambrose, 14th, A.J. Allmendinger, 15th, Jamie McMurray, 16th, Brad Keselowski, 17th, Casey Mears, 18th, 19th, Denny Hamlin, who's not been looking too great, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 20th, Josh Wise, 21st, 22nd, Danica Patrick. And now here are the drivers that are looking at Danica's rear end.
That's a decent finish by Danica.
At a tough track, at a real tough track, and she was on the lead lap.
On the lead lap.
Come on, naysayers. Confess, confess. We were wrong about Danica. Justin Allgaier was looking at Danica's rear end. Eric Almirola was looking at Danica's rear end. Landon Castle was looking at Danica's rear end. Brian Vickers was looking at Danica's rear end. So was Martin Truex Jr. was caught looking at Danica's rear end. David Gilliland was. Alex Bowman was. Parker Kligerman was. Kurt Busch.
All right, there you go. Busch. I mean, you know, some of these other guys are...
lesser drivers than Danica.
On a weekly basis, just checking her out from behind.
David Reagan is checking her out from behind. Travis Quaffle is looking at her rear end. Joe Nemechek was looking at her from behind.
Joy
was behind her. David Stremme, Casey Kane, Cole Witt, Reed Sorensen, Ryan Truex, Paul Menard, Michael Annette, Dave Blaney. Half the field looking at Danica's rear end. This girl, she gets no respect because she's a girl. She is consistently 20 to 30 in that middle third or quarter, whatever. What is it? In the third 25%.
Right? Third quarter.
Like there's 1 to 10, and then there's 10, 11
in
through 20.
In this case, it's probably really 1 like through 20. 11, 12 through 22, 23 through 33, and 34 through 43.
There you go.
Because it's almost basically 11.
She's been like
11.
18th to 30th.
She's been consistently 15 to 25th.
And not even in the 30s, really. Like in the 20s.
No, yeah, in the mid-20s, I would say.
Good enough. That's all you need. Well, there could be another no-name driver from somewhere out there in Illinois. Could be taking that spot.
Yeah, I can name a whole bunch of them right here.
Why
by looking
should
at
she
the,
get it?
Looking
should,
at the results.
She should get it because she's a super hot little marketing machine named Danica.
That's it.
And she's got two first names. One from a boy and one from a girl. And she's GoDaddy Girl. Give her a break. I don't know who I'm yelling at right now, but they know who they are. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into the Formula One deal. You ready to do that? Should I mention just real quick, nationwide note, Chase Elliott, awesome.
The real deal.
Can't wait for this kid.
You know, what do you mean? He's arriving. He's taking his place.
I like him.
He's awesome.
We got another youth movement going here with
love
Chase
it.
Elliott,
love it.
Kyle Larson, Dale Jr. Okay, Gio, should Dale Jr. let this kid go to another team too?
No,
well,
absolutely
he's not.
Not
ready, and you know, maybe he's not ready. He doesn't
but
want
to
do that.
What if Dale
stuff,
Jr. doesn't have the business plan to ever field a Cup team?
You don't think he can get a business plan? You don't think he
not
can get
not that he
the...
can't get one, but what if that's not his desire?
Well, if that is not his desire, then why
that's
does
what
he
I'm
have
getting
a
at.
He's just going to like have a nationwide team and develop talent for other people, and that's what he likes to do. That's his fun thing. Maybe. I mean, if that's what he is, hey, I just want to be the guy that like grows the fruit for everybody else to eat. Okay, I guess that just doesn't seem.
But okay, who's to say that he unnecessarily fields a team when they're A, not ready, or B, don't want to?
Okay,
they bring
not
this
ready.
Young talent on. Hold on,
not ready,
and they don't have exactly the you know what it takes to the personnel, the everything, the infrastructure.
How many years does it take to develop that? 50. He's already had Brad come and go. He's come and gone. This guy is now here. Clearly, like, okay, they know this guy's the real deal. They should be planning from right now. If they can't figure out a business plan with Mr. Hendrick and Chevrolet in, what, 2 years to get this kid to the Cup level and take advantage of this guy's super last name and talent and ability, it's strictly because they don't want to.
Correct.
Well, they definitely have the ability. What if they don't have a business plan? Oh, come on.
It's not that they don't have the business plan and they can't come up with one. That's not what I'm getting at. What if that is not in his plans? This is not his plan.
He has a junior motorsports team already. Why would you become an owner at all, at any level? Where would you think this guy's going to make more money? Let me ask you this. So, look.
But it also takes a lot more money to get up to play in the big leagues.
I don't think so.
All right. Well,
you got to travel to all the tracks, and you're building chassis, and you're got engines from Mr. H, and you got a lease deal. I think Dale Earnhardt Jr. could have himself a Cup team, lickety split, and you put Chase Elliott in there, and you got yourself a winner right off the bat. And then when Dale Jr. decides to retire at 45. he's in the game making big money for the next 10, 15 years. I think it is a no-brainer. I think Dale Jr. needs to do it, and I think his father did it, and he is right in the footsteps. He'll be the team owner. They'll use Hendrick's stuff. He'll continue to race for Hendrick. Chase Elliott will be his driver. There's no excuse other than I really just don't feel like dealing with that stuff. And if he chooses that, then, well, there's nothing you can say. That's a choice. But it's not because, well, maybe they don't have the right guys and they're not prepared and they don't know how to do it. No, that is not realistic. There's only one legit excuse. I don't want to do that with my life. When I walk away from racing, I want to walk away.
That's all I'm getting at.
I'm already, I don't need the money.
If he wanted to, well, that's very clear.
I don't need the money. I don't want to do that. But that just goes against Dale Earnhardt Jr. He's had his own team for years. He's already had his own team. They were talking about it. The first time around, maybe he wasn't ready because he had not achieved his level of confidence. Now he's there. I think it's going to happen. I think it would be a shame to allow
Chase Elliott
to. I also
think that maybe he'd be wearing himself thin. Here's a guy that who his goal is to be a champion cup driver, and he might have his own career-type goals, whereas if he starts working in ownership and dealing with all the
But he's not going to be doing any of that. He's going to be doing like Tony Stewart is doing it. Why isn't it wearing Tony Stewart thin?
How do we know it isn't?
I think it's pretty, because he won a championship. I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, but I mean, let's not compare the class of driver between Tony Stewart and Dale Jr. now either. Let's not get crazy here.
Yeah, well, you know, Tony Stewart's on the downside.
Maybe.
Dale Jr.'s still on the uptrend.
Well, let me know when he gets his third championship.
Listen, man, you go back to that. That's great. That's true. I understand. I got nothing to say.
So I'm sorry. Let me not confuse you with the facts.
Yes, I know. And I will throw the two Daytona 500s on the table and feel pretty good. And feel pretty good about it. We're talking
Decent.
About people wearing thin, and we're talking about all of that stuff. You know, I think that's rooted in nothingness. Crap. But whatever. We'll see. We'll see what he does. Chase Elliott. Don't let him get away, Dale Jr. Hire him. Sign him. Hendrick stuff. And pull the Hendrick equipment from Tony Stewart and take it. Maybe that's what you're afraid of.
I am not afraid of that.
I don't know.
Look, let's be honest here. The strongest team this year in Cup has been Stewart Haas.
So far.
They've got three out of the eight wins.
At the moment.
Three wins, eight races.
Hendrick horsepower, Hendrick chassis.
And the best driver on the team hasn't even gotten hot yet.
Hendrick coasters. Listen, you say the best driver on the team. Look, man, you're the guy who's always telling me, boy, this first segment has been so long because you're rambling. And so am I. That old age creeps up on you and you're the first guy. Old age and what old people and old age and old age and old age. Why doesn't that apply to your guy?
In your mind? It does.
So you confess then that you confess.
I mean, I confess that right now the best driver on the team appears to be Kevin Harvick. But it's early in the season. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Followed by Kurt Busch.
Nonetheless, it's a marathon, not a sprint. He's better than Danica.
I was not going to go that far. I'm not going to ruin my credibility. All right, folks, let me tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. The Dragster Adventure was very, very much highlighted recently on a Jalopnik article. They got the media types together for a big race out there, the kind of race that you would be participating in if you go to frankhawley.com and open a browser and check it out. And one of the racers was a road racing guy from Jalopnik and was like, oh, drag racing isn't that cool. It doesn't take time. It's not easy. It's not hard. And he raced and he didn't think to stop. And he almost went into the sand trap on the end. And then he hit the brakes and he was asked, you know, to leave. And he wrote a story about how much he respects drag racing. So what am I telling you? You have access to run better than this guy, number one. But two, it was a thrilling experience that he now respects and something that you can get in and do, and it would be fun and exciting and thrilling and a great gift, a great birthday gift or a holiday gift or a graduation gift. Or maybe you're a bracket racer that wants to get better, or maybe you just want to experience driving a dragster. Call 866-480-7223. 866-480-7223. Tell them you heard it here on WFO. I heard the guys on WFO say that I can race a dragster and I will be in control and I don't have to just ride along with somebody. I can do it. I'll be the guy. Is that true? The guys on WFO said that.
Absolutely.
866-480-7223. I'm sure they would love to hear from you. And it's a great gift. That's all I can say. They're going around the country. There's different locations, different schedules, and it is a lot of fun. I have driven one of these dragsters. Of course, I'm Super Comp licensed, and There's no experience like it. No roller coaster like it. No thrill ride like it. It is a very unique feeling. And the only way you're going to feel it is by going to frankhawley.com. Check it out. We'll be back after this.
This is WFO Radio.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
We couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. WFO Ignition. Hey, did I tell everybody on this show? I know I mentioned it last night on Nitro. This week on Nitro. Because some people are listening whenever the heck they want. About the new WFO Radio app. We really need the core audience on Ignition to really check this thing out. We have updated the iPhone version of the WFO Radio app. The Android update is coming soon. New artwork and different things. First of all, regardless of whether it is great or it is not great, it is going to end up great after we figure out what needs to be updated. As in, we can fiddle with it a little bit ourselves, but once the larger audience of WFO says, hey, can you do this, can you do this, can you do this, on this type of device with this operating system, it's acting a little funny. Like, for instance, mine, when I downloaded on my iPhone 4S with iOS 7, the first version, not the update, when I press the big play button and then try to close the app and listen with it in the background, it doesn't work. It shuts down. But if I press play in app, then it will. Now, that's something we're working on changing. But I have to show the app developers, the great friends at AppBurst, that it's doing that, and that's going to take time. So here's what we need. We need you to download the app and check it out and use it.
And feedback. Let us know what's wrong, what's right, or what's good and what's bad.
But do that via email. When it comes to the iTunes and App Store, just a five-star, like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing ever. It's like better than naked women in my lap. That's how great it is. A glowing review, because that makes the app go up. Like, it's probably against the ethics of the whole app thing to be saying this right now. You're not supposed to ask for better reviews, five stars. You're supposed to just happen, but you know, most people aren't doing a show. So, we received some calls. I want to get to those. I guess we'll do it at the time of the fantasy, because because I would imagine they're fantasy related. This week, it was announced that Gene Haas from Haas CNC has received a license to race in Formula One in either 2015 or 2016, depending on whether they can make it for 2015. They held a press conference, and very interesting stuff. The team principal is going to be Gunther Steiner. Gunther has been involved in many different types of racing. It may sound like a German name, but in fact, Gunther Steiner is an Italian. He's born and brought up in the city of Bolzano in the Alto Adige region, where German remains the dominant language, despite the fact that modern borders means it's now part of Italy. After graduating in 1986, he became an engineer with Mazda Europe in Belgium, working on 323, four-wheel drive turbos, yada, 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 a lot of racing experience. He worked on rally team until Niki Lauda asked him to become the managing director of Jaguar in 2001. His role in Formula One lasted just 1 year before another management reshuffle replaced him. After leaving F1, Steiner went to work at Opel DTM. So this guy is very experienced. At the end of, there was little motivation to stay. When he was offered a job of technical director of Red Bull Racing, he jumped at the chance to return to Formula One. So he was a technical director at Red Bull Racing in his last job. So this guy is experienced. But in the press conference, Gene Haas was asked many questions, and there is a lot of audio that we're going to need to get through. Gio hasn't heard a lot of it. I know you folks haven't heard a lot of it. We're going to play it, and we're going to discuss, okay? First of all, the question was, why? Why do this? And Gene Haas's answer. Why get into Formula One? What is the whole point of all of this?
The same techniques that we've achieved in NASCAR, as far as selling machine tools. We have a very good market penetration in the United States, and the associating the Haas brand with Formula One, I think, will launch us into a premium brand, and that really is the ultimate goal, is to take the image of Haas Automation and turn it into a brand that is desired and high quality and known throughout the world.
So he is using Formula One as a worldwide marketing opportunity for Haas CNC. And people are wondering, like, what will the team be called? Like, what is the team name, and what kind of engines are you going to use, and what are we going to see on track? What is the name going to be? All of that. Here's Gene Haas.
The team's going to be called Haas Formula, there's a lot of things going on right now. We were in expansion mode at the Kannapolis, Stuart Haas Racing Campus, where we were adding a building. So what we're going to do there is take a portion of that building, and that will be the Formula One headquarters here, right here in Kannapolis. So that's the first thing that we're working on. And matter of fact, they're just putting up the roof on the building now. So that we figure that's another few months away. The next thing to do is to sit down and have some very serious negotiations with our partners. I think, as everybody knows, that there's currently three engine suppliers for Formula One: Renault, Mercedes, and Ferrari. So we have to narrow down the partner that we're going to work with, and that's a very important part of it, is figuring out who can provide us with the technical expertise that we're going to need. We're going to do something very similar that we did in NASCAR, which is to try to partner, say, like with a Hendrick Motorsports, where we can rely on them for a lot of the technical expertise. Because let's face it, we're new at this. There's going to be a long learning curve, and to sit there and say that we can understand what's going on with these cars in a year or two is not reasonable. So it's going to take us a while to learn, and we're going to lean heavily on a technical partner to help us.
So I think that is very interesting right there. First of all, it makes me feel good to know that they are setting a long timeline for this. Nobody expect any kind of instantaneous results.
Long-range plans.
Long-range plans. And some of the audio, this thing went on for an hour and 10 minutes. I did not cut every clip that was vital out of here. And the one that I didn't clip, and maybe I will, or we'll just post it, he talked about NASCAR not being a worldwide brand, and that NASCAR is very limited to by its domestic schedule, and that NASCAR has not achieved a worldwide brand, and that NASCAR is held back by that. And I felt like the people in NASCAR were probably infuriated by him saying that so publicly and open. And yet it is also true. NASCAR wanted and wants to become a global brand, but Formula One has been a global brand for, you know, 30 years, for a long, long time. For longer than that, they've been going everywhere. That is their deal. He wants to sell CNC machines around the world. They are looking for a technical partner. They have three choices. Later in the interview or in the press conference, they reduced that to two, which confused me, and I have to do a little more research. Mercedes, Renault, or Ferrari. Off the top of my head, I would have to say go Mercedes right now. But just because the reality is what it is at the moment doesn't mean it will be that way in 2 years. Okay? Big question.
No, and judging by the last 4 to 6 years, you would say Renault.
Right. The next question, who will drive? What kind of driver are we looking for this thing?
Well, ideally, I think what we would like would be to have a experienced Formula One driver, probably someone who's familiar with the current engine package rules. They changed quite a bit even from last year. Then going forward, we would certainly would like to have a young American driver. That would be the ideal situation. But at the moment, we haven't really narrowed it down. I know we've had quite a few people talk to us or, you know, send in applications about they would be interested, we don't have anything at the moment. But other than the fact that we would need someone who is a experienced current Formula One driver that maybe becomes available in the next 6 months to a year, and a younger driver that has a lot of potential, whether that, you know, hopefully that would be an American driver.
Well, I certainly hope so too. An American team with an American driver. I think it's very important that you have an American driver, but I also think it's very important to have someone who is experienced. Now, he says things that...
Well, okay, but just let me touch on that real quick.
Yes.
We don't have an experienced American driver.
No, Alexander Rossi is over there in Formula 3.
So it would have to be somebody that they develop over the next couple of years to hope to put him in the car there.
There are a couple of young Americans, Connor Daly and that Alexander Rossi and a couple of others, who are there. They're like right on the brink, on the precipice. And he's a Caterham test driver right now, Alexander Rossi. But here's the thing. Whoever takes this gig is going to know they have to, they're going to stink for the first 3 years. They're going to stink bad. They're going to be slow. They're going to be in the back. They might be dead last. The car is not going to be really that fast. And there's no way around that. So who are you going to get? It's going to be a slow process, I think. It's going to be called Haas Formula. Do you like that? You notice they stayed away from United States anything, which I think that's good. Haas Formula.
Well, it makes sense.
Now, someone asked Gunther Steiner, who was there, if they had considered purchasing a team that was already in existence. Someone who had already set everything up and they were just going to buy the stuff and go after it. What about that, Gunther?
Obviously, we have looked to do this, but then again, you go back, you're not an American team, you know, and the inheritance, we didn't want to take that route. So we decided, or we made up a plan that we do it ourselves, but not completely on our own. We will have partners, and which we will work in Europe with. But to buy a current team, it didn't fit what we wanted to do, because it needs to be the base needs to be the United States.
They're going to be based in Kannapolis, North Carolina, at the Haas Racing Compound, folks. All of those years that we have talked about having a United States Formula One team, it is now a reality. There is an American Formula One team, and they will be starting in 2015 or maybe in 2016. And Gene Haas says he would prefer 2015. Think about this. 2015 is really right around the corner, but he would still prefer to get out there rapidly. Why?
I would say we would like 2015, but depending upon who we select with our partner, I don't know if they can provide all the infrastructure and technology that we would need. So I think it's one of those things that we're going to have to find out in the next few weeks, and hopefully within, I would say within 4 weeks or so, that we should have an idea which year we're going to pursue.
Initially, I agree that 2016 is more realistic, but in another portion of the which we may play of the press conference, he says that a lot of the learning curve is just getting to the track. Figuring out how to send people where to go, how to get it there, that they know nothing of any of that. And that's why he kind of wants to start in 2015. Because 2015 will be a total throwaway from the beginning, but they will at least begin to learn. And even if they finish dead last in every single race, they will be learning how to get their stuff to places, where to be, where to go, how to get there, the rhythm of a race weekend, like all of these things that they have zero experience. Haas says that they are an American team.
We're not going to be a European-led team. We're going to be an American-led team, and we're going to do it the way we think is the most efficient. And as a point, I'd like to point out that, you know, Haas Automation builds machine tools in California, the most expensive state in the union as far as taxes. And, you know, we're doing it in a place that nobody thinks that you can build machine tools efficiently, and yet we do that.
We do things that others can't, which is very interesting. He says it will be an efficient American team. This is where he's, in many ways, calling out the Euros. And he did it a couple of times, and I felt like it was genuine. And maybe this guy is, maybe he's going to pull this off. Maybe they're going to find a different way to run Formula One. Or maybe they will be crushed.
This is going to be an American, well-run, efficient organization, the same organization that you see at Stewart Haas Racing is what we're going to have, and the same kind of organization that we have at Haas Automation, which gives us the ability to build machine tools in the United States, where there's virtually nobody left in the United States even building machine tools. We do what other people say can't be done. So I think this is just another face of that way of approaching the problem. That's what we'll do, and that's what we'll accomplish.
So that is some real heavy talk right there. We're going to do it because we do things that other people already say that we can't do. And I love that. I love that kind of talk that is very American. Like, maybe this guy is just the guy to pull this thing off. Maybe they are going to rewrite the rules of Formula One. Maybe they're going to just change it. They're going to make it happen. But why do this? What is the whole point of doing all of this anyway?
You know, the challenge here is basically, at least in my mind, is getting to the racetrack with a car that runs. You know, we're not here to, like, say, reinvent the wheel. If, you know, say it would be insurmountable to sit there and say that we're going to build a chassis by ourselves and engineer it, figure out how to do it, hire all the people, and do that in 9 months. So obviously, we're going to have to compromise on what we do as far as the construction and of the car, and we're going to have to try to, you know, acquire whatever we can. But our main focus is going to be coming to a racetrack prepared. I think when I look at a lot of the other teams, you know, they spend so much of the time working on the cars, and then they have DNFs and they fail to start, or they're outside the time to be competitive. I don't really care too much about the technology of the car in the first year. Our main purpose is going to be arriving at the track and racing a car. No matter how we do that, that's our main focus here. Not the technical expertise of the car. Like I said, we're going to try to buy as much as we can of that. But the main focus would be the logistics of getting a team, as you say, to the racetrack. I like their pit stops. They don't put fuel in the car, and they've got like 3 to 4 seconds to do that. If we're a second or two off of that, yeah, maybe we'll be a little bit slow, but we'll definitely change the tires on the car. We'll definitely come down the pit. We'll definitely show up for the races. That's the main focus here. Not You know, do we have the best aero package in the world? No, we probably won't. But we can rely upon our technology partner, at least for our engines, transmissions, the KERS systems, suspension, steering wheel, all those things are going to come to, are going to come packaged to us. So our main thing is just focusing on the construction of the aero and chassis and getting to the races.
My lead-in wasn't exactly correct on that, but that right there I think is the cut of the day so far, where he absolutely lays it out what they want to do, how they're going to do it, and how they plan on doing it. They're going to be slow. They're going to lean on their partner. They're going to figure it out. They're going to get in the pool, and they're going to start swimming. And they're going to figure it out, which is exciting. But what about the chassis? Who's going to build this chassis? Are they going to build the chassis? What's going to happen with the chassis? Who's going to build it?
We've had some preliminary talks with Laura. And you know, they're ready to go. They have a complete facility. They have experience. They know what they're doing. They've been involved in racing for, you know, forever, as far as I know. They've been around a long time. So those are the kind of partners that we would be partnering up with. And at the same time, we want to learn. You know, we're not going to be doing it just saying, going over there and say, well, build us a chassis. We intend to put our own people in there to learn these processes, because ultimately our goal is to become a constructor. That's the goal of Formula One, is to have, you know, a driver's series and a constructor series. And the constructor series is the part that we have to put together. And I don't think our car is going to be the Haas Formula car entirely. It's going to be based on a lot of the technology coming from our partners to begin with. But as time goes on, we'll learn. We'll figure it out, and the car will eventually evolve into our own car. And quite frankly, I think we can beat the Europeans at their own game.
We can beat the Europeans at their own game. What do you think? How do you think that quote right there is being received in the Mercedes shop, at the McLaren shop in Joaquin, at Ferrari, at Renault? Do you think that they're just, you know, not talking about it? Do you think they're taking it seriously? Do you think they're laughing? What do you think? We're going to beat the Europeans at their own game. That's a big quote.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit arrogant to say that.
But I don't dislike it. I'm just saying this is going to be a big, big, big thing. Going out there, dropping however many millions or billions of dollars. Speaking of which, Gene Haas answers the question, how much is this going to cost? Some people say it could cost $1 billion, which is shocking to the NASCAR crowd. $1 billion. How much is it going to cost, Gene Haas?
Well, it's going to be billions and billions. So let's not... every week it goes up by another billion.
And now that was tongue-in-cheek. He wasn't really billions and billions. But really, yes, it is going to be billions and billions. But here he talks a little bit more about the budget.
You know, we have a budget, you know, there's a lot of unknowns in it. But you know, we have budgets for what the engine packages will cost. And you know, those numbers are well known. I think a lot of the exponential rise in cost is something that maybe was in the past. If you go back to say the somewhere maybe 5 to 10 years ago, where the rules were anything goes, and exotic aero packages and exotic wind tunnels, these were the things that were driving the cost up. And then with the recession in 2008, things changed. Actually, the rules have become much more favorable. Like, say, you know, there used to be, you know, maybe 8 different suppliers of engines. You had every major car manufacturer building their own engine for a Formula One, and there was no doubt that they're spending $200 or $300 million just to build an engine for a single car. Today, there's 3 current engine suppliers, and they're required to make their engine packages available. So we're going to take advantage of those rules. We're going to lean as heavily as we can on partners. Our job is not to reinvent the wheel. Our job is to race cars and win races. So the reinventing technology that's maybe somebody else has that we can purchase is probably more of what our strategy will be. Don't exactly have the numbers, but the numbers I've seen are reasonable. And, yes, it's expensive, but I think that we're going to have our own way of doing things. I mean, too many teams, I think, just go out there and throw money at it. We won't be doing that. We're not going to be throwing money at it. I think myself and Gunther, we both understand racing. We understand that, typical businessmen going into this business, simply say, well, I just want the best. And the best doesn't always mean the best for him. It's the best for the guy that's supplying him as far as how much money he can charge. But we're not going to be foolish like that. We're going to spend our money wisely. We're going to do it with an American flair for design and efficiencies, and that's how we're going to control our costs. We're not going to be a European-led team. We're going to be an American-led team, and we're going to do it the way we think is the most efficient. And as a point, I'd like to point out that Haas Automation builds machine tools in California, the most expensive state in the union as far as taxes. And we're doing it in a place that nobody thinks that you can build machine tools efficiently, and yet we do that. So we do have precedent in terms of making a good product at a very reasonable price, and I would hope that we can, going forward, that I can put those same parameters to work in Formula One. And a lot of people say it can't be done, but we do things that other people say can't be done all the time. So I'm not afraid of that, and that's something that I'm looking forward to. It's one of the challenges of trying to run an elite racing team, without spending billions of dollars.
And I'm getting patriotic over here. I'm feeling it. Like, I'm feeling patriotic. Like, maybe you need to bring up a little patriotic music for under the end of these next couple cuts that are coming up there, Giovanni, because we only have two left. Because this is a big thing that is happening. Gene Haas goes on to talk about Americans' past in Formula One and what it means about being an American in Formula One and Americans' past in Formula One.
Things have changed a lot since the last Americans have been involved in there. And I think that, you get the impression that sometimes people think that, the European way of racing is just so much more advanced than the Americans. But we're the most advanced country on the planet. So I can't imagine why we can't do this. I don't see any reasons why we can't. It's just basically racing. Parts are more expensive and the coffee's a lot more expensive, certainly. But I think we could bring a more rational way to do this. And why other Americans haven't done it, I don't know. Maybe to some degree, Americans have thought that, we don't need to worry about the European markets anymore. I mean, let's face it, in manufacturing for a long time said, those people overseas, we have big markets here. We don't need to worry about exporting stuff there. And we know how that all worked out. Obviously, by letting foreign competitors into our country, we gave up huge amounts of market share. Now we're having to fight to get it back. So I think that European markets are very important. I think Asian markets are important. Every market's important. So in the same way that maybe we thought that we didn't need those European markets and we don't need their racing, that's all changed. I think those markets are very important. And I think the Formula One racing is as they keep highlighting, it's the Formula One World Championship racing. It goes all over the world. And that, to me, is interesting, because to compete in a world market and win is something that is very hard to do. And that's going to enhance the brand name of Haas Automation, which is, like I say, is the ultimate goal here, is to try to improve our standing in the world so that we can sell more products in the world.
Gene Haas talking about Americans Formula One, and the final cut that I have labeled. You could have kept that going, but that's okay. We can also the big challenge, but that's it's a big challenge, but that's how we roll. Final cut.
When I took on this or looked at this task, I guess it was like, yeah, when you first look at it, you go, wow, this is a heck of a challenge. I mean, how are we going to do this? But I went to a few races, and I tell you, it's interesting. I've been in the Cup garage for a long time, and they got wheels and they got tires and they have engines and they have lots of computers, and guess what? That's what they do in Formula One. I think there's a lot of magic and mystique to that. If you were just an ordinary businessman going into this thing, you could easily be misled into how to do this. But when I came back with it, like, well, it's a challenge. It's definitely difficult to do, but it's very similar to what we do now. So I can't imagine that this challenge is going to be impossible. We do this every day. We bring four Cup cars to you know, the races almost every week, and they show up and they compete. And people have been questioning us how we do that. I don't go out there and personally build the cars or anything, but we have competent people that get that done, and that's what it's all about, is trying to find the right people to do the right job and not being hoodwinked into hiring people that promise you the moon and can't deliver. Most of the people that I work with are fairly ordinary people, I think that's somewhat my attitude. Very realistic about what we can accomplish, and I think after, say, being to a few Formula One races, I thought there was a lot of similarity what I saw in the Cup garage as far as technical expertise. Even though people will say it's much beyond that, and in a lot of ways it is. I mean, I'm not saying that, but like I say, the new rules are more in our favor. FIA is trying to make the series more cost effective, because they realize that spending huge amounts of money doesn't necessarily make the product better for ultimately the fans, so they've tried to get away from that. And I think those rules actually lend themselves to the way we do things of trying to similar packages that everybody runs, and the economics has done the same thing. A lot of the car manufacturers, for whatever reasons, have decided that they didn't want to participate in Formula One because of the fast changing pace and the amount of money that went into it. So now we're, like I said, we're down to three basically engine suppliers. So I think that works well for us, so we don't have to make this as complicated as it needs to be, and that's what's going to make it work for us. We're, like I say, this is not going to be a European, just throw money at things and go racing. This is going to be an American, well-run, efficient organization. The same organization that you see at Stewart Haas Racing is what we're going to have, and the same kind of organization that we have at Haas Automation, which gives us the ability to build machine tools in the United States, where there's virtually nobody left in the United States even building machine tools. We do what other people say can't be done. And so I think this is just another face of that way of approaching the problem. That's what we'll do, and that's what we'll accomplish.
That's how we roll. Gene Haas, the owner of Haas Formula, America's first Formula One team in years. I want your thoughts, 954-889-6796, joe@wforadio.com. Email us, tell us your thoughts. But right now, open discussion, myself and the great Giovanni in Miami. Gio, you've heard it. It took 27 minutes to get through that, but I listened for an hour and 11 minutes, and there were more, of course, silly questions about could Danica be a driver, could Kurt Busch. His answer was simply impossible to convert a Cup Series driver, and just moved on. There were questions about will they...
Maybe Kyle Larson.
Will they...
Chase Elliott, young guns like that up and coming, that you could throw them over there now and learn how to drive like that.
Maybe, but their experience is on ovals, not road courses, so...
Yeah.
And the same with the IndyCar drivers, Hawk and stuff, was like, maybe they could get Montoya. It's like, no,
Montoya.
Man.
Montoya.
You got to start in a different spot.
Washed up.
But let's not even go with that. What is your impression of Gene Haas and his attitude? He is minimizing Formula One.
I wouldn't go
that
far.
Well, he is, but I'm not saying he's wrong about it. Maybe he's looking at it in a very good way. That, hey, all that, don't be blinded by all that fancy stuff, Razor Joe.
By the sparkly, shiny object.
Wheels, cars, data, they're figuring it out. We can do that. We're the most advanced country in the world. We can do it. We're going to bring a rational, the same way we do with Stewart Haas Racing. Do you think that's going to work in Formula One? Like, what do you think about his flippant kind of attitude about what's happening there? That's where my concerns come in.
I don't think he just pulled that out of the thin air. I think he has that idea because that is where Formula One has been trying to go, to make it more affordable. Remember when they tried to put cost control measures, that they were going to do the salary cap, and that's when USF1 showed up, and then that went out the window when Red Bull and Ferrari freaked out, and that was part of the reason that Peter Windsor's team never got off the ground, because they had the idea and the imagination that there was going to be a budget and a limit, and they could try to compete under those circumstances. Gene has come in now a few years later, where maybe Bernie, maybe these on the inside, he's been told that this is what they want. that kind of like the NASCAR theory of things, where the cars are closer to spec cars without actually being spec
cars. See, like
cars.
What you're saying, like all of this is like blasphemy to the Formula One fan. You're like,
that's
really,
fine.
You're saying
it could be, but maybe he knows something that's what they want to do.
I don't
and
think
that's
so.
Why he's getting involved and wants to do it in this manner.
I think he is overstating the cost controls. I think he is overstating in many ways, like that's not what Formula One is. Yes, he's going to be able to get Mercedes-Benz to supply him stuff, or Ferrari, or whoever. But, you know, Sauber got Ferrari to supply them stuff, too, and they were not a winner, and they've been around for a long time. And Toro Rosso, too. So I'm wondering, is he underestimating? This is where I'm coming from. Ready? Final analysis. Because there's nobody who wants greater success than me. I'm going to get the Haas Formula gear immediately, as soon as it comes out. I am not going to renounce my Ferrari fandom, but I am going to adopt the second team Haas formula and watch them as they begin to grow and develop. I wish them the greatest success, and I feel as if our whole civilization is going to be judged by their performance, whether that's accurate or right or wrong. Some people in other countries will definitely, especially after his comments, we're going to bring a new rational way. We're not going to do it the European way. We're going to not just throw money at it. We're going to bring more rational style. We're going to succeed. We're the most advanced country in the world. Those things are going to be taken personally by others. They're not going to just, ha-ha, the Americans, they're so cool, we love them. They're going
I don't expect anybody to just
this is
let
competition.
Them win.
Well, what I think he is underestimating right now is the level of rapid development that happens. Even if you do get a Mercedes power plant and a KERS and a steering wheel and a transmission and it's all packaged together, the rapid nature of enhancements, I think that's something that you just can't possibly prepare for. He talks about in the interview, in the press conference, they have a wind tunnel. They have all kinds of assets that USF1 didn't have. And USF1, after you see this guy's operation, really was
Mickey
very,
Mouse,
very,
so
well, not even anything, not even Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse would have a better opportunity in Formula One than USF1 did.
Actually, Mickey Mouse might have a better shot at
Disney?
It than even Gene.
Get that bluebird out of here, Eisner. Remus, what's this in my hand, Remus?
A pencil?
Remus! Anyway, I wonder, are they ready? I don't think that they ever could possibly be ready. They're going to get in it, and they're going to see, and I love it. It's such an American thing to do. We're going to get in there, and we're going to figure it out, and we're going to figure it out. And we're going to see what happens. And we're going to just get in there. We're going to turn Haas into a premium brand. And we're going to do it our own way. And we're going to come up with our own system. And we're going to do it like we do in NASCAR. And we've got guys that are ordinary people, but they're competent. And they're going to do extraordinary things. And we can't be stopped. And we're going to do it. We're a can-do.
Well, if he doesn't have that mentality, it won't work.
Yes. No,
that's
he's got it.
You know, you have to have something or else it's just not going to work.
So
now, I still don't know if it's going to work.
No, there's no way to know. There's no way to
know. But you have to have belief.
And maybe they realize that they will do this for a while and say, oh, man, that can-do style is not going to work. We need to spend more money. And they will, and they could. Who knows? Let's create, real quick, a timeline for success, pretending that year one is 2015, even though it may be 2016. So 2015, if they begin in 2015, is clearly a throwaway year. You can't expect anything, not a point. They can't.
No,
you can't expect a point.
It would be great if they could finish races.
If they could get to the track and finish races. Okay, so 2016, I don't think you
a
can
slight
either.
Slight improvement, just finish races, but maybe not come in dead last.
2017, 3 years in, could they get a point?
No.
I don't think so either.
No. I mean, let's look at a team like Force India, who's been around now a few years and spends a heap load of money.
Vijay Mallya has got to have as much money as Gene Haas.
Probably even more.
Yeah, because he's, you know, they're walking
King
on
Fisher.
Walking on the backs of the poor over there. Why do you shake your head? It's true. You know,
I can argue that they do that over here too.
Well, you could. That and it wouldn't even be an argument. You would be right. But they do it more over there. the guy is a super, and they've received results. Like if they could follow exactly the Force India timeline, I'd be happy. If they could improve on the Force India timeline, that would be outrageously stupendous.
I think that would be spectacular, more than we can hope for, actually, to be honest.
Okay, well,
and then hope that they got in with the right engine manufacturer, that in a couple of years, when they're ready to maybe get their stuff straight,
yes,
that engine package and the rules coordinate. Like Mercedes, 3 years ago, Mercedes wasn't doing great.
No. The new rules package.
Final, they brought Lewis over.
Final thought on this. Yeah, the drivers, Dallara. Dallara, we know, I don't think Dallara can hang when it comes. Dallara's not going to design the chassis, though. That's something that I omitted. They're looking for a designer. They know Adrian Newey is not available. They're looking for a designer. So someone is going to design the car, and Dallara is just going to make it. They're going to put
right,
the carbon fiber shapes out. But already, that's going to slow down development. Whereas Ferrari goes, all right, we need to do this, make it. And they make it. It's going to be like, Dallara, we need you to make this. Okay, well, we're going to get to it later. You know, we got to build Indy cars. You know, we got an order that just came in. I wonder what's going to happen. One final point. This has been a long segment, but this is very, very WFO. This is what we do. The manufacturer. More Mercedes and more Ferraris are sold in the good old United States of America than any other car.
I'm sure.
I mean, than any other country. I said car, but I meant country. This is the number one market. This is why there is now a Formula One race and a new Formula One team. I do think it would be extremely beneficial to either of the two to partner with Haas Formula as a marketing platform to create the, let's say, the winning Formula One American team has got a Ferrari power plant. That is going to be big for Ferrari or Mercedes.
Yeah, and if Mercedes is really smart, they sell a lot more cars to average people, where Ferrari is a luxury item.
Yes.
Mercedes would be really smart to get in and try and partner up with them and tell them, look, we want to be your engine manufacturer until you get rolling.
Have really high motivation, I think, to get together with Gene Haas. And so maybe there'll be a little bidding war there. And maybe they will offer extreme technical help and get them going. Maybe. Although I doubt it. Anyway.
Let's see what happens.
Let's see. And there we are. Let's see what happens. And you notice I made no real prediction. No predicting. There's no predicting. It's pointless to predict. They'll fail. They'll succeed. No, we want them. This is going to be like, we want them to succeed, and you have to give them at least 5 years. You give a football coach 3 years to just move a bunch of dudes around, which is really what you're doing. You're just moving guys around. You're picking guys that are already, they're flesh, they're blood, they're men. You're moving them around. You're just dealing with their character and their ability. You're not designing something that is a machine. It's just different. It takes longer. So there you go. All right. When we come back, we're going to do a quick fantasy wrap-up, and then we're done because we don't have picks today.
Nope. No race. No fantasy tippy because there's no race.
And since we're open wheel stuff, I'm just going to tell you, Mike Conway beat Will Power and Carlos Munoz in the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach, the IndyCar race.
It was exciting. There was some wrecks at the end. I saw the last portion of it.
I haven't seen it. I was out at the track.
And
Juan Montoya finished fourth. Simon Pagenaud
had a really good run, yeah. I think Pagenaud was upset with Will Power. Are those two friends or used to be friends?
I don't know.
Somebody's mad at Will Power and said that they won't be hanging out over the vacation together
anymore. No way.
Yeah, Will busted a bad move and there was a big wreck. And
Marco finished eighth.
Some exciting racing going on there.
Well, it's
Long Beach.
That is a great race. I would like to hit that at some point in my life. And I've got it on the TiVo, and I'm going to check it out.
China F1 this weekend.
Oh, man. That is going to be exciting. But still, no updates yet. No, big updates. The big updates are going to come when we get back to Europe.
Big update that Stefano Domenicali is fired!
Why are we not talking about that? Because we've been all wrapped up in the United States stuff. It's a new era. This whole, hey, Ferrari fans, gather round. Guess what? This season's a throwaway.
It's over. That's it.
I really don't see how we're going to put a new guy in there.
Some new guy's going to come in and just turn everything around, right?
Turn the tanker that is Ferrari Formula One and make it successful and find 100 horsepower over Mercedes overnight. That just seems unlikely. Maybe by the end of the year and for beginning of next year.
Look, man, as long as they're not running 7th and 8th every race anymore, okay? That's unacceptable.
I don't know Stefano Domenicali.
And it's not just running
7th
and 8th. It's the problem that after competing and battling for guys not to pass you, and then you get blown away in the straightaway.
No power. Their power plant is weak. They don't even know what their chassis is like because their power plant is weak. They're getting blown off on the straightaways. Just down the road.
Blown away on the straightaway.
The aero device on the rear wing is not even helping them. They open the slot and they're not going anywhere.
They could run the whole lap with the slot open. It's not going to help them.
So, Stefano Domenicali, was he incompetent? No.
No, it's not incompetent.
Just at this level,
you know?
Certain things, tweaks, things did not work out. He's moving on. They fired him. Or he resigned.
No, he resigned.
Whatever.
Quote, unquote.
Doesn't matter. He's allowed to resign to save face, whatever. Bottom line is, it's a new day at Ferrari, and we're going to have to see how it all works out. Obviously, China going to be interesting. First race with new...
The guy from North American Ferrari.
Yes.
What is
his name? Let me look real quick.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thank you.
Dun, 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 dun.
I love it. I'm almost want to just not get it done quick so I can listen to Gio's
horrible rendition of whatever that is.
Marco Mattiacci.
There you go, Hitachi.
Mattiacci. Mattiacci, president and CEO of Ferrari North America. You know what that means, folks?
Marco.
We've already got an American Formula One team. They're called Ferrari. Because he's the president and CEO of Ferrari North America, which is, let's face it, that's the United States. So we're sending one of ours over there to get it straight. Going to straighten things out with the American way of doing it. Dominating. All right, when we come back, we're going to do fantasy, and then we're out of here. On WFO.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
PokerActionLine.com. Hey, racing fans, this is Big Dave Lemon, the host of Poker Action Line Radio. And I know you guys are big racing fans, but you probably like poker as well. So why not tune into a great poker show featuring interviews with poker stars and some of the greats of the game? That's Poker Action Line. You can find it on iTunes by searching Poker Action Line or pick it up on our website at PokerActionLine.com.
W-F-O.
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 W-F-O. W-F-O.
Totally nonstop W-F-O, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
W-F-O. Well, all right, all right, all right. Welcome back. Final segment here on W-F-O. Been a fun show, kind of more informative than fun or funny this week. I think the Gene Haas stuff kind of takes precedence over everything. This is a big historic moment for the good old United States of America. I told you last week we're on the comeback trail. I told you last week that people are moving. And look, Gene Haas, I loved what he had to say about our markets, that we opened up our markets to all these foreign companies and let them come in and take the business.
Well, that is true.
That is absolutely factual.
Not just take the business, take the technology, the infrastructure.
Everything.
They came
everything,
here to learn
everything,
how to make
gave
factories
it to them,
and everything.
Gave it to them. Taught them how to do everything that they're doing. Everything is us.
This part is true. That's not part of being an American.
And now we have to fight for it back. And you've got people out there. You know, I'm a big American car buyer. And this is the reason. This is the reason. Buy American. Buy American. Buy things that are built and made by Americans, where the money stays in America and is reinvested in America as best as we can. Or, like Gene is going to do, he's going out there to try to bring money back, which I love it. And if he fails, he's definitely not going to turn Haas CNC into a premium brand. So he's got extremely high motivation. It's like, hey, our machines are great, but our cars stink. He's got a lot of stake in this game.
Yeah, but at the same time, like you said, they're not actually building and designing, building the car or building the engine or any of that stuff. I don't think if...
You can't turn it into a premium brand if the car is slow.
I don't think if they fail, it necessarily looks bad on Haas CNC as a company.
I do. Associated with losing.
That's like blaming the sponsor. That would be like blaming Lowe's for Mike Skinner sucking all those years.
I think a lot of people did. I think a lot of Lowe's, man, I'm going to Home Depot. Wow, then Lowe's, they finished last. Plus, this is a technology industry.
You know what? When all else fails, Joe is always right.
Isn't that the truth? All right, fantasy results. Here's the deal. First, I want to mention Poker Action Line. Poker Action Line. There you go.
There you go, degenerates. They'll be walking in the door real soon.
Are any of our degenerate listeners degenerate gamblers? I bet they are. The weekly winner after week 8 in the WFO Fantasy League, the most difficult league on the planet. Kyle Means Petty and Mrs. Dirty Hippies tied for the victory. 332.
Oh, there's a new sheriff over there, Rich.
There's a new sheriff in town. Bulls Wool, 325. Fourth. Third. Father Times Troopers, 320. Craig and Sonora, 316. K Car Curse, 314. Sixth. James Gang, seventh. 310. Brian in Louisiana, 309. Tied with Kramer Power. Way to go, Corey. Finally getting on the board. And tied for ninth and tenth, going Chad, 882. And Hooper. That's Pauly the White Guy. Most points, Kyle Means Petty and Mrs. Dirty Hippies with 332. The biggest gainer, Mrs. Dirty Hippies with 332, up 14 positions. I was supposed to go see Rich this past weekend, but he blew me off. He was busy working.
It's good to be rich.
Yeah. Sorry, Joe. I got to work. Now, I know he's probably going crazy right now in his house listening to this stuff. I know, Rich. It was a mutual. We were both exhausted. Biggest loser. Jimmy Fan, go 48, down 19. And Barbecue Bob, down 19. Overall, the leader remains 001 Red, up by 20 over Kyle Means Petty. Robertson Racing is third. Little Low is hanging in there at fourth, 64 points back. Followed by the Night Kids. Vladdy from NBC Sports Radio is in fifth in the Fantasy League.
Dropped two spots.
But still has got a real legit shot this year. He started off strong. Youper, 6th. Pink Powder Puff Racing. What a very feminine-sounding name. 7th. Going Dad, 8180, is 8th. Hooper, 9th. And the Mominator, 48th, is 10th.
The good news for Pink Powder Puff is that this year he's really going to... He looks like he's going to win that challenge.
Yeah, no. The next year it's going to be something even more feminine.
Not for him.
Team 14 is going to have to wear. Like, you know, I can't even think like...
Diapers or something.
Vulva. Miller Man 2 Brian is 11th. Matitude is 12th. Richensaug is 13th. Black Ice 14th. And the Rumblers are 17th. And Five Can Drive is 19th. And SD Alicia is slowly dropping down 1 to 20th. Super Trucker is 21st, up 7. Mrs. Dirty Hippie's up 14. We heard about that. Hockey Dad, 24th, up 8. The Man in Brown, 25th, down 2 positions. The Man in Brown, oh my goodness, the Man in Brown.
WFO guys, hey, this is Rudy. Hey, I'm just calling a comment on the attack from last week by that, what was his name, something plate. He said that he was a real truck driver. Well, first of all, let me say, Steve the Trucker, Super Trucker, all you truckers out there, this isn't directed at you. I got nothing personal against you guys. No beef with you. This is for that plate guy.
Restrictor
called me out by saying we weren't real truck drivers. Well, you know what? You're absolutely right. I consider myself a worker, not a truck driver, because, you know, we're in and out of those trucks about 150 times a day, lifting heavy stuff. We're not just driving around on the interstate. I think maybe the heaviest thing he lifts all day is that double cheeseburger with that Big Gulp. But anyways, maybe it should be restricted back. Maybe that's the name, restricted back. His back's restricted from lifting lots of things, so he just drives around. That's all I wanted to say, man. It was a good weekend of NHRA racing. Finally got a chance to finish watching it last night. Didn't hear Joe in the background much. I was looking for you on the TV coverage, but I didn't see you either. Anyways, guys, that's all I had. WFO, and enjoy the week off. Happy Easter. Joe and Gio, have fun hiding the huevitos, and we'll talk to you soon. WFO.
Says Rudy the UPS guy.
Big Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
Sunday.
I always love the big
Sunday
Easter
morning.
Egg hunt. It's going to be very good. First of all, he attacks back because Restrictor Plate attacked him, and so he's attacking back, which is all in good fun.
That's what we love. That's
very
what we like
eager
to hear.
To see if
back
it can,
and forth.
If it can stay respectful and nice and everybody get along. But I will say this. Sean from Restrictor Plate, Sean the Restrictor Plate, posted in the WFO group. He's a model.
Like a model what? Like a model citizen? Like he's a good guy?
No, like
or?
A model, like for advertising.
What, like a hand
like
model?
Photographed, yes.
Oh, get out of here.
Yes.
Send the shots,
I'm
man.
I've got the shots. I've seen the shots. The shots are out there.
Oh, so
the
he's a pretty boy on top of
yes,
all that.
Yes, he is. That's exactly correct. He is. He's like, he looks, I'm going to show you right now. And we're going to get, folks, we're going to get Giovanni in Miami's legitimate, true reaction to the Restrictor Plate as a model for a product in an advertisement.
Oh, he's modeling the WFO hat.
That's Bob
I love
Cole.
That.
Bob Cole was out there somewhere else. That's there he is. That's him. He's in a Mobil Oil ad that is up in every TA and Petro truck stop in the entire country. The ad is text over the top of a guy with a, you know, a shirt kind of rolled up, and he's got jeans, and he's got a ball cap, and he's kind of staring off into the distance, like, oh, my God, I got to get back into that thing.
Okay, he definitely doesn't look like an A&F model.
Nobody said he was an...
You said he was a model. I expected,
model.
Like, some, you know, like a good-looking young guy, like, with, you know, all cut up in a six-pack.
That's
he looks...
not where my brain goes. I like a guy who's in an ad who's getting paid to sell a product in a photograph. He's a model. What is that other than what's this job that he's got that he's in an ad that they're taking pictures of him? He's a model, right? Like you're immediately
yes, by
thinking
definition,
of like A&F dudes
yes,
in shorts
you said
and stuff.
A model. I'm thinking, you know, like
well,
posing.
Posing. Look, he's posing.
Yeah, I guess.
He's posing.
Look,
that's a
you
pose.
Know what?
Look, stare off into the distance
you're right,
like you're looking
right.
at your big rig, thinking, oh my gosh, if I get back.
He's got
in that
like
thing,
what is that? Like a gallon of motor oil or radiator
yes.
fluid type bottle in his hand.
Yes, it is a gallon of motor oil. That is exactly what it is. And I even asked, it's what is that? Mobil? And he says, yes, it's Mobil Delvac oil. And he's going to come try to come by Bristol Dragway for the NHRA race there.
Cool.
But he is a model.
Hey,
look
but
at
you
that.
Know what? Hey, Sean, did you get paid for that? Then more power to you, buddy.
I wonder, did he get, or was it a contest?
Whatever it is, dude. You're up on a poster size frame.
I'm going to make
all
sure.
The Petros and TAs all
I
over the country.
I am
going to
make sure that I share it on the WFO page right now. And
good for you, Restrictor Plate.
Yeah.
I'm envious.
I told him he's already surpassed my entertainment industry career. This guy is—he's big. He's in every truck stop around the country. How do I get WFO stand-ups in every truck stop around the country?
But yeah, he just looks like a regular truck driver. He's got a long sleeve button down.
He's carrying the inflatable donut.
Jeans and a hat. Yeah, that's it.
You know, you got to sit on the inflatable donut.
Yep.
You're sitting around for a long time. So there you go. Now let me get back to the results so we can get out of here. We're on schedule. Going 7 is 26th, then Lady Oz, The Avenging Abbeys, Smothered and Covered, 29th, Steve the Trucker, 32nd, Father Time's Troopers, Geo Racing, down 5, 35th.
Oh, vague.
Still ahead of the Northwest Nitro Fanatics and Eat My Dust.
Hockey Kid, you got ahead of me.
You guys got a little rivalry. You and Hockey
actually,
Kid.
Actually, I dropped 5 slots and fell in right behind him 1 point.
1 point.
I'm going to catch you, Hockey Kid. I'm going to break that stick again.
Restrictor Plate, 41st. 304 out. Jimmy Fan Go 48, 42nd was 99. Racing, the Dirty Hippies, up 5, 332 out of the lead. That's a lot.
Not for Rich.
Clear Side, 51st. Patrick's NASCAR Rubbin, 52nd. Car Acrobatic Team, down 15 to 61st. WFO Joe, up 4.
Woo! And Joe, moving on up.
Me and the Money Man are in a very tight draft. We are totally... denying the rules about tandem drafting, and we're in a 6 point apart tandem draft coming to the front. Me and the Money Man. Watch. We're going to get it on. Let's see. Sacramento Racing Fan said he was going to beat me at the start of this year. He is behind me now.
Low, what's going on over there, Low?
Los Chingones.
Low, Rudy is whooping you this week, man.
Los Chingones tried to call. Something's going on. I don't know. He tried to call from his iPad or something. I got 2 missed calls from him. And I don't know. I don't know what to say. Didn't quite work out. Did not quite work out.
Sorry, Lowe's. Get it in on the off week. We'll get you in next week.
Yeah. That's it. That's all you can say. Because his call did not come through. And that one-touch button, folks, you got to use it. You got to use it. Make it work. Who else? Lowe's Chinkonis, the 68th. Mr. Where Did He Come From, a 71st. Where's Bob
up
Smith?
Up in Smoke.
Flashover
Spark
Racing.
Spark It Up.
73rd. Where's Spark It Up and Up in Smoke?
80. Is Spark It Up, 74, Up in Smoke. These guys are...
They're not motivated for some reason. I don't really know why, but they're not. They don't seem to be motivated to participate in the league. You know, they just don't have that drive and determination that you would think that a fantasy player would have for some reason. Team English is failing. What's up, Mike English? 82nd. The Lawn Slave failing. Eastern Competition just dropping, plummeting. Mattman? Come on, Mattman. Have you thrown in the towel? Mattman? 85th still again? Come on. You're hundreds of points behind me. How is that possible? Gilly Barbecue, 86th, and Big Bad Don's Thunderstorms. Yeah. Big Bad Don.
Our friend Big Bad Don.
Oh, we're thinking about you, Don.
Moved on over to Big Bad.
Thunderstorm in the sky.
Thunderstorm in the sky is what I was thinking, too.
Yeah. I talked to someone about that the other day. They agree that it's just unusual. I mean, I guess Big Bad Don might have heard something that we said and just been so angry and offended that he just decided
I'm
never going to listen to those guys ever again, and I'm not going to make one pick in the league, even though I've been in the league for the past 6 years, and I've said all kinds of offensive things over the past 10 years. What was it? What was the straw that broke the camel's back? I don't know. Maybe I'll have to do some research about Big Bad Don. Anyway, that's that. Any final thoughts, Gio? I know you had something I wrote down that we have a new segment this week. Things that infuriate Gio. Begin.
Oh, all right, quickly. Yeah, at the end of the race when Kurt Busch got punted by, I believe it was Clint Boyer, the tap dance in the booth, no one could say that Clint Boyer just ran over Kurt Busch. It was... Kurt Busch, maybe he let up when he got side by side. Maybe he slowed down. No, how about the fact that Clint Boyer just ran him over with 3 laps to go?
Really?
Just can't say that.
No, you can't. And it's holding back the sport because it's not reality. People
that and Michael
reality.
Waltrip giving any opinion over his race teams, it just drives me nuts. It infuriates me. I think it's just it's just hogwash as far as I'm concerned.
You don't think that
it's unfair?
He should be allowed to say anything about that involves his own team.
No, it's just like it's just not. I just don't see that. Maybe it's me because I just see a distinction where the team owner is up there pontificating and giving his opinion on his own team.
Right.
Maybe I'm the only one that sees it that way, but it really, it drives me nuts to hear him say that, well, maybe Clint Boyer should take two tires on this last pit stop. He shouldn't be saying anything about Clint Boyer. He's not allowed to talk about his own teams.
Pit.
That's it.
I'll make it up to you. Yeah, I get what you're saying, and I agree. I think that one can only hope that NBC, when they take over the coverage, will
not hire owners.
Employ some of these things and realize that they've got to get a guy. And I'm not saying who the guy should be, but they've got to get a guy. When I was on NASCAR radio, and this is one of those moments, I had a big discussion with my friends. And the comment was that I need to go in there guns blazing. And I need to tell it like it is, call everybody out, name names where I felt like people were making mistakes, and call everybody out. And I did. When we were NASCAR radio on XM. But as time went by, and I was able to do that because I wasn't allowed to go to the races, and the person that was going to the races, I was forbidden from doing interviews with cup drivers because that was the domain of
someone else,
of others. And it was a big point of contention. No Cup Series interviews, no Nationwide Series interviews. I got to do Truck Series interviews. So it was actually very easy to be the guy who just put your opinion out there. Like a Stephen A. Smith, not that I agree with what he says and the way he says it, but look at how successful and popular he is. Charles Barkley.
Bayless.
Skip Bayless. I don't want to be compared to Skip Bayless at all because I hate him like poison. I just don't like him. I think he just makes up stuff that isn't true to be this person that we're talking about. That's how much they do it, that they actually make things up to say that aren't even true to tell it like it is. But there is and hasn't been anyone to do that in NASCAR, a Jim Rome style of NASCAR, someone who says what they think and is not concerned with what the athletes are going to think about them. And that's what we were doing, and we had great success. And then, of course, XM loses the contract. And the beginning of all the craziness that brought about WFO begins. But here's the deal, though. Here's the point. When you interact with the drivers and you call them out, like Stephen A. doesn't have to see the athletes. He calls them out. He doesn't have to see them. When you call out the drivers and then you see them and they are like looking at you. Hey, dude, you just destroyed me on TV, man. You just called me out. You know, I made a mistake. I slipped through the pit box. I made a mistake. It becomes a lot more difficult. And I understand that. Now that I have gone all these millions of miles in my life, at that time I was in the right position to call out people on their mistakes, just like in mainstream sports radio, it was hugely popular. And now I can again on this show.
And not only that, but I think that's very possible from ESPN and Fox and all these other networks because they have people that just work in the studio that aren't necessarily at the track.
But Darrell Waltrip is never going to do it. Mike Joy is never going to do it. Andy Petrie and none of those guys are ever going to do it. Michael Waltrip is certainly not going to do it. And you need it. Every other sport has it. And there's a balance. Maybe you don't go guns blazing like Stephen A. Smith and say, this guy embarrassed his family and his children and every person that has ever known him.
No, I think that's a bit extreme, but there really needs to be somebody out there to just point out what is really going on.
When Clint Boyer drives over someone, it does. And they pontificate about something and they have this casual conversation over the top of great wheel-to-wheel side-by-side racing. They're destroying the product. They're destroying it. It's being destroyed, folks. Here's a couple of things, and then we'll get out of here because we got to get ready for the Poker Action Line guys are coming through, and it's going to be the greatest thing that has ever happened to all of the people who listen.
But that drives me crazy, the whole Michael Waltrip thing and all these other owners. It was like, for those of you that don't know, down here, Drew Rosenhaus, the famous agent, the famous sports agent, I guess he's really mostly a football agent. He lives down here locally and used to have a segment on one of the local news channels. And he used to get on there and do nothing but talk about his clients and talk about how great they were or how great things were going on with his
clients.
Conflict
of interest.
Like, no one never, ever had anything else to say about anybody except there was one of his clients and talked about how great they were doing and how great everything was. And it's just...
conflict of interest.
You just can't do that.
So obvious a conflict of interest. All right, ready, rapid fire. Fox is moving NASCAR's Talladega qualifying to the big network.
Ooh, that's because of the new qualifying rules.
Yes.
It's interesting. Now, I actually heard somewhere that qualifying ratings have been through the roof.
It was a great decision. NASCAR's management should be getting all kinds of love, and they are on this show. I'm telling it like it is because they deserve it. Michael Schumacher showing small signs of progress.
Well, yeah, he's not dead.
No, man. He's waking up slowly.
Oh, okay. That's great. Awesome. Shoey.
Don't expect Stuart Haas drivers in F1 car.
That should be obvious. I got one. I heard that Jeff Gordo was all happy and he's all back into the racing again. He said he could race 10 more years. He will definitely get to 100 if he races 10 more years. You heard it here first.
I think he should if he likes, whatever makes you happy. There it is. Whatever makes you happy, Jeff. If your little daughter loves racing and is running a quarter midget and she loves being out there and loves her daddy being a great race car driver and all the exposure that's going to get to her so she can become the next Danica, except when?
But two things. Number one, being healthy, and number two, driving well. You know, it just brings back the joy and the fun of wanting to do something.
Of course.
Like Junior.
A South Florida legend, maybe not legend, but a very involved person down here in the South Florida area with Hialeah Speedway, a journalist, a promoter, a track announcer at Hialeah, which is now gone. Marty Little passed away on Saturday. Marty did a weekly racing article in National Speed Sport News about Florida tracks, and was very nice to me many times. And I did not have tons of interaction with Marty, but when I did have interaction, he asked about what we were doing, and he was very nice, and he passed away. And that is sad. So to Marty, wherever you are, thank you for being cool in our interactions. That was wonderful. Subway, exploring possible Formula One sponsorship.
Wow. There you go. Carl Edwards is going to be the driver.
Gene Haas said that he was not really looking for other sponsors.
See, that I find a little bit kind of...
Take the money.
Yeah, like even Mercedes has got a bunch of subsidiary sponsors and secondary sponsors.
Yes.
And even Ferrari's got a few sponsors. Well,
Ferrari's got a whole bunch of sponsors. So there you go. All right, I'm done. The Cup race from Darlington had 5.9 million viewers. A 1.4 rating in front of on Saturday.
1.4 is not that great. I actually saw somewhere where the races that we happen to like and enjoy the most, which is Saturday night racing.
No, it said it earned a 3.2 overnight.
Are the worst rated races of the year every year in and year out.
Saturday night is typically the least watched television night. People want to go out. The ladies like to go out on a date.
Dude, I can see Monday night racing.
I can too.
Monday night racing.
That's something that we've been advocating for years. String them all together on Monday night when there's no Monday night football. And then switch come football season. Well, but the race fans, they got to get home. And I understand that too. What are you going to do?
People got to get home after a football game.
It has been great. Your thoughts on the Gene Haas Formula One stuff on the Skype line, 954-889-6796. Just click Skype, download the app, great, positive, glowing, awesome reviews, please. When you download the update, Android, you're having an update soon. It will have push notifications. Any thoughts or notes, by all means, email them, but do not include them in your great, glorious review. Gio, any final thoughts?
Enjoy the races.
There you go. And happy Easter to everybody out there. Good luck finding the
X. Passover, whatever it is you believe in.
That's already happened.
I know, that was a couple days ago.
Yes.
Actually, I think it was yesterday.
Yes. And we'll see you next time, right here on WFO Radio.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.